Well, a famous song that was recorded back in the 1960s by the duo named Simon and Garfunkel, which is actually pretty popular still today. Many other bands have recorded this song, and I'm sure many of you know it. It's a song called The Sound of Silence. And the beginning of that song begins with these words: "Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again." And that song has resonated with millions of people over the past 60 years because many of us, I think, can resonate with this feeling of darkness at times, or some emptiness or loneliness of the soul that we feel. And so we can relate to this song. Well, there's a psalm I'd like to look at today that's kind of ties into that song, where it speaks of darkness as a friend as well. And that's Psalm chapter 88. So if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 88. We'll have it on the screen as well. And let me just give you a heads up before we read this psalm, is that many psalms, as you know, they begin with a little bit of hopelessness and despair, but then at the end, there's some good stuff. They come with songs of words of praise and thanksgiving and joy. This psalm does not end that way. There is no, quote, happy ending to this psalm, just to give you a heads up as we read through this depressing psalm. Are you ready? All right, Psalm 88 says, "O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of trouble and my life draws near the grave. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like a man without strength. I am set apart with the dead who lie like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, O Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do those who are dead rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have been afflicted and close to death. I have suffered your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken my companions and loved ones from me. The darkness is my closest friend." I'm not going to go through this psalm verse by verse today, but I do just want to highlight some key thoughts, some key themes that we find in this psalm, and then we'll make some application to our lives today. The first thing to note is that the psalmist is very honest with his feelings. It's very obvious how he's feeling. And I think that's why many of the psalms resonate with so many of us, don't we? As we, whether it's David who's writing, or Asaph, or in this case, it's the sons of Korah. It's a man named, Heman the Ezrahite. There's this such raw honesty that we find in the psalms, and especially this one in particular. But let me just make this note about feelings before we go any further. And that is this, is sometimes our feelings do not indicate what is true, what is reality. Often our feelings can mislead us. So just because we have these feelings about a particular thing does not mean that that is actually true. And we'll see this too as we work our way through this psalm. But I think it's good to be honest with how we feel, and that's how the psalms are written. That's how this psalmist is speaking in this particular psalm. So let me just touch on a few of these feelings that this psalmist has. Number one is he has this feeling of darkness. And he speaks of this darkness in verse 6, where he says, "You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths." And then in verse 18, that famous line, "The darkness is my closest friend," just like Simon and Garfunkel sang that song. And closely related to this darkness that this writer feels is this idea of death. We see this in verse 5. He says, I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave. And so there's this sense where he feels like death is just at his door, like he's on the brink of death himself. He can taste death, he can smell death. This is how this psalmist feels. And he sees nothing before him. He sees no light, he sees no life. There's just darkness, and death is what he feels in this moment. Well, what are some things that caused him to experience this darkness? Well, one thing I believe is separation. He feels like there's separation from God and from others as well. And he speaks of this in this psalm in verse 14. Lost my page. In verse 14, he says, "Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?" It felt like God was a million miles away from this psalmist here. And also separation from people. We see in verse 8, he says, "You've taken from me my closest friends, and you've made them repulsive to me." And again in verse 18, he says, "You've taken my companions and loved ones from me." There's this feeling of aloneness, of separation that the psalmist feels here. And so it's no wonder that he describes this deep darkness. Because after all, the Bible says what? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so if he feels like he's so far from God, it's no wonder that he feels no light at all. Just this utter darkness and despair that has overcome him. So number one, he has this feeling of darkness. Number two, he has a feeling of weakness. We see this in verse 4, where he says, "I'm like a man without any strength." Verse 15, he says, "I have suffered from your terrors and I am in despair." Other translations render that word despair as helpless. He's just without strength. He feels so helpless. He feels so weak. And it's safe to say that weakness and darkness kind of go hand in hand. In other words, when we feel this utter darkness in our lives, it has a way of crippling us and causing us to just feel like we got nothing. Nothing to offer, no strength at all, because we're just overcome by this darkness. The darkness has a way of stripping away our vitality and our strength. And the psalmist is feeling this as well. So again, a feeling of darkness, number one. Number two, a feeling of weakness. Number three, a feeling of sorrow. We see this in verse 3, where he says, "My soul is full of trouble." In verse 9, he says, "My eyes are dim with grief." This idea that the tears are just continually coming and just tears flow, and he's got so much grief in his soul. And part of these sorrows, I believe, have to do with his fears. He speaks of fear and terrors in this psalm as well. Now, we're not given all the details about this guy's life, are we? So it's possible to know what he was so afraid of or what he was dreading, but he speaks about the wrath of God in this psalm. So it's possible that he's experiencing maybe some discipline of God. Maybe he's rebellious, maybe he's sinful, and so he feels that sense of wrath from God. Or it's possible, which I tend to view it this way, is that he's just experiencing this feeling of loneliness and darkness, and God is using this in his life for a greater purpose, but he can't see that purpose. I think of a man like Job, who couldn't see what God was doing in his life, but yet he experienced all this darkness and weakness and sorrow that he went through in his life. And I think it's similar here to what this psalmist is going through. Again, we don't know for sure, but either way, whatever God was doing, he was experiencing this deep sorrow, this deep sadness, this hurt, this heartache that caused him to cry out to God. Darkness, weakness, and sorrow. And yet, God was silent, or God seemed to be silent. Aren't you glad you came to church today to be uplifted and to be encouraged? Well, I pray that you will be encouraged as we dig through this psalm, as we get beyond the surface and as we dig a little deeper, I think we'll see some glimmers of light, some glimmers of hope, because we have the beauty today of being on this side of the cross, don't we? This psalmist here did not have Christ before him. We do, and so there's so much more beauty we get today out of this particular psalm. So there's three truths I'd like to point out today. And number one is this: when we read this psalm, it should remind us that we are not alone. When you and I go through times of darkness and despair, we often feel alone. And we may even have these thoughts in our head that no one else knows what it's like. That no one else knows what it's like to experience the darkness like I do. When all we feel is this nothingness, we might feel like no one else knows what that's like, but that is a lie. Who else knows what it's like? Well, we know for one, this psalmist knows what it's like to experience great darkness and sorrow in his life. But he's not the only one, is he? Let me remind you, as we look at the scriptures, and I could spend much time just going through the scriptures, but I think of people like Joseph. Joseph, who was literally thrown into a pit, wasn't he? A deep, dark pit. He was rejected and abandoned by his brothers. He experienced that darkness. Think of the prophet Jeremiah. Listen to what Jeremiah says about his encounter with the pit and darkness in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 52 through 55. He says, "Those were my enemies without cause, hunted me like a bird. They tried to end my life in a pit," and as you know, he was cast into a pit, "and threw stones at me. The waters closed over my head, and I thought I was about to be cut off. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit." Jeremiah experienced this pit, this darkness. And then, of course, how could we not mention Job, who had gone through more pain and suffering than any of us in this room have ever experienced. Such horrific things that happened in Job's life, such great darkness that came to Job. And so for us to act like we are the only ones who have ever experienced darkness and despair, to start singing that famous song, "Nobody knows," right? "The trouble I've seen, nobody knows my sorrow." Like we're the only ones. No, we're not the only ones. And not only as we look to Scripture do we find people that we can relate to, but look at church history. And you'll find so many people that have gone through similar things that we have. I think of Charles Spurgeon, that called the Prince of Preachers. And yet early on in his ministry, in his young 20s, as he's preaching to thousands of people in a crowded building, some prankster yells, "Fire!" And people begin to panic and they run out of the building and people are trampled. 7 people died that day. 28 were injured. And Spurgeon, though it wasn't his fault, he had this emotional pain that he carried from that day forward. His wife said he was never the same after that day. As he thought about people being trampled to death, as he's preaching the sermon. Not only emotional pain that he experienced, but physical pain throughout his life. He suffered from Bright's disease. He suffered from gout, rheumatism. He often had these bouts of great depression that he went through. And he was a very witty guy, a smiley guy, smoking a cigar. You think he was the happiest guy on the planet. But he experienced great, great times of depression in his life. And I could mention person after person in church history who did great things for the kingdom of God, who went through great times of darkness and despair in their lives. So know this, we are not alone. And while, yes, it's true that each of us have had unique experiences, you could say, in that sense, it's true. It's very prideful and self-centered for us to elevate our experience above everyone else, or to act like no one else knows what it's like to experience darkness, only me. No, we're not alone. Countless people have had a Psalm 88 experience. You're not alone. Well, the second truth I want to point out is this, is we need to see Christ in this psalm. Again, we can look back and look back to the cross of Christ. The psalmist couldn't do that. Though many would not label this psalm as a, quote, messianic psalm, I think of like Psalm 2 and Psalm 22 that are very obviously messianic psalms, Psalm 69 and 89. Many don't label it this way, but I think it ought to be. Because when you look at it, Christ is one who experienced darkness. He experienced weakness, and he experienced sorrow. He experienced all those things that this psalmist is declaring in this psalm as well. Jesus experienced, number one, great darkness. For as he hung upon the cross, he quoted that famous psalm, Psalm 22, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? He felt that forsakenness. And the Bible says this, that for 3 hours as Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross for those 6 hours, but for three of those hours, great darkness came over the land. As just you could feel the wrath of God in that moment, as Jesus experienced the darkness of the Father in that moment. He absorbed the wrath of God. Jesus literally felt what the psalmist says in verse 7. When he says, your wrath lies heavily upon me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. And yet seeing the darkness that Jesus went through should actually bring us joy today. Why? Because we know this, that Jesus experienced that darkness out of a love for you and I. That Jesus didn't deserve that darkness. He didn't deserve the wrath of God to fall upon him. But he said yes to that wrath. He said, Father, I'm willing to absorb that wrath for my people, for the ones I'm going to die for and rise for. And so we can look back on the darkest moment in the life of Christ. And today we can rejoice. Praise God, Jesus, that you went through that darkness for me. Number two, he experienced weakness as well. Jesus, don't forget, was fully human. And especially in those moments before the cross, it's hard to imagine not only the physical pain, but just the human exhaustion that he must have felt after being beaten and whipped and scourged. He had to carry the cross. And so it's likely that that's the reason why the Roman soldiers had Simon of Cyrene carry the cross. It's likely because he was so physically exhausted. And he went through that for you and I. He was weak. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. He says this, for to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him to serve you. Jesus, he says, was crucified in weakness, but he was not powerless. That is why Paul would say just prior to that, he would say, I actually delight in weaknesses. Why? Because it's in that moment when I am so weak that the power of Christ rests upon me. That is why I delight in weaknesses, because when I'm actually weak, I'm actually very strong, because it's the power of Christ who's working through me. And number three is Jesus also experienced sorrow. In the Garden of Gethsemane, right before the cross, Jesus would say this, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Luke says this, that as Jesus was agonizing over the cross to come, he was sweating what looked like drops of blood. That was the intense of his agony and sorrow and grief that Jesus went through for you and I. The prophet Isaiah records this some 700 years before Christ as he prophesies about the coming Messiah, the coming Christ, in Isaiah 53, verses 53. Verses 3 through 5. He says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." Not only are we given the bad news there, but we're given the good news. Jesus, as that suffering servant, was pierced, was punished. He carried our sorrows. But the good news is that he did it so that we could have peace with God, so that we could have redemption, so that we could have forgiveness of sins, we could have spiritual healing from the hand of God, all because of what Christ has done for us. Let me ask you, can you see Jesus in Psalm 88? I pray that you'd read it again later today and just look for Christ in that psalm. Well, number three, the third glimmer of hope that I think we can get out of this is never surrender. Never surrender. Obviously, we're called every day to surrender our lives to Christ. I'm talking about never giving up. When I say never surrender, the idea of never giving up. And I think this is seen in this psalm as well. For though it may seem like the psalmist has lost all hope, and he is lost in this dark depression, I want you to see that there is a glimmer of hope and light throughout this psalm. How so? Well, notice that the psalmist throughout this psalm, four verses, speak of him calling out to God, of crying out to God. In the midst of his despair and depression, he keeps crying out to God. He doesn't stop calling out to God day and night. And we see this in verse 1, verse 2, verse 9, and verse 13. He's calling out to God. I think the very first verse gives us great insight into his heart. Let me read that again. Verse 1 says, "O Lord, the God who saves me, day and night I cry out before you." Even though there is darkness all around, even though he feels like death is knocking at his door, even though he feels rejected and abandoned, even though he feels depressed and oppressed and suppressed, deep down he feels rejected. He knows deep down that he's calling out to his God day and night. He says, "I hold out my hands day and night to you, O God." Why? Because he knows that the God he's crying out to is the God of his salvation, the God who saves. And so the same God that has saved him in the past can save him in the future. And I believe that is the heart of this psalmist. He's crying out to the God of his salvation. So too, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the mindset that we need to have as well. To keep crying out to the God of our salvation. To seek the Lord continually. no matter what circumstances we may find ourselves in, no matter what dark spot we may be in, no matter how weak we may feel, and no matter how many tears may stroll down or roll down our face, and times you may be crying and you don't even know why you're crying. That would happen to Spurgeon often. And so if you are, quote, in Christ today, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've been saved by His grace, if God has already, past tense, if He's already pulled you out of the pit, so to speak, that dark pit where Satan rules, if He's pulled you and grabbed you out of that pit, and as Scripture says, He's brought you out of the dominion of darkness, and He's transferred you into the kingdom of the light, the kingdom of the Son. You have redemption in Christ. If God has done that for you, if God has already saved your soul, then certainly He can help you in your time of darkness, in your time of despair that you're going through in the present tense. Even if that's today for you, God is there to help you. He is your strength. He is your Savior. He is your refuge. Never forget that the God whom you love and you serve is mighty to save. Listen to what the prophet Zephaniah says in this beautiful verse in Zephaniah 3, verse 17. He says, "The Lord God, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." When you feel joyless, remember the God who's singing over you. When you feel like your heart is just bound by turmoil and chaos, remember the God who has the power to quiet you with His love. And when you feel weak or when you feel rejected, remember the God who has said to you, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That there is nothing in all of creation that can ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Although this psalm has been referred to as the most depressing psalm in the Bible, I pray that because of Christ, because we who are in Christ, because we have the privilege of knowing what Christ has already done for us, that you would see light and hope in this psalm as well. That God would turn your darkness to light, your weakness to strength, and your sorrow into joy. Well, as we close today, not only do I want to talk about earthly darkness, but I want to close by talking about what's called the eternal darkness. Because the Bible is very clear that there are two places, two eternal destinations, two eternal dwelling places that all of us are going to end up in. One place is called heaven, the other place is called hell. And hell is described as a place really of much of what this psalmist is experiencing. Just aloneness and darkness. Jesus called hell utter darkness. There'll be torment, there'll be grief, there'll be pain, there'll be sorrow in this place called hell as well. And so if you think that darkness and sorrow are bad right now, it's really nothing compared to what's to come. I know some people say, "My life is so bad, it's hell on earth." It might be bad, and I don't mean to minimize your rough and bad life, but it's nothing compared to hell. Because right now, we still taste the common grace of God. We experience fellowship and friendship with people. That's gone in hell. You're alone. You're in isolation forever. No contact with people in hell. We get to taste the apples and the bananas and the fruits, all the wonders and beauties of God's creation right now. It's gone in hell. You will not taste anything good in hell. It's utter darkness. And so it's important to point out that though we all deserve to be there because of our sin, we've all sinned against God, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's where we deserve to be. The good news of the gospel is this, is that by the grace of God, we don't have to go there. We can actually go to the place of light, where God says this, there's actually no need for the sun in heaven, because the glory of God is going to light up that place. And so we're going to enjoy communion and fellowship and friendship and all the beauty of heaven forever if we know Christ. And so today, if you've never come to that place of repentance, which simply means to change your mind, to have a change of mind about God, because by nature we're born not believing in God, not loving God. We want to make God in our own image, a God that suits our fancy. And from the get-go, we think that we can do things to earn favor with God. That's just natural for human people to do. Human people, or just people, human and people. Human, you know what I mean? Humans, people, same thing, right? It's just natural for us to do that. But the Bible's very clear. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that we get to heaven and we can escape hell. So today, if you've never come to trust in Christ, then I pray that you would believe that Jesus died for you, that when he went to the cross, he had you in mind. He loved you despite your sin, despite my sin. And he bore the wrath of God. He bore that punishment that we deserve so that we could be forgiven, cleansed of all of our sin. And we could have a home in heaven someday, the glorious city of light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what Christ has done for us. All the darkness, all the loneliness, all the despair, the sorrow, the tears, the pain. He went through it all for us. We should marvel every day at the great, great, deep, deep love of God. Oh Lord, forgive us when we lose sight of the incredible, amazing love of God, that Jesus, you loved sinners and you died for sinners and you rose again for sinners. Lord, help us in our times where, as human beings, we can all have a Psalm 88 day or maybe week or maybe even year or years, Lord. Help us. Help us to cry out to you day and night and to never forget that you are a faithful God. You're an all-wise God who's working all things together for the good of those who love you. Help us to trust you no matter what you bring. Lord, we love you and thank you for your word. Continue to teach us and shape us. We pray this all in Jesus' name.